Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
I love my sister.
Hallelujah. Greetings. Bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your time. I am the host tonight. My name is Sister Ashley. If you've ever listened, if you've ever followed, if you've ever prayed or supported, I thank you personally and on behalf of everyone here on the land at Straightway Tennessee, the hub. Hallelujah. We thank you from our hearts. Thank you for the offerings, letters, and supports and everything you do, honestly, truly, and sincerely. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer is with me tonight in Georgia. Let's jump to Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. It's so good to be here with you all for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everyone can hear me well. I can hear you, Sister Ashley. I have not heard the live audience yet.
Hey, let's hear them. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All two of them. Let's see.
Is it two?
Yes. Tammy's not here yet. It is low key tonight. I got two, Mother Jennifer. Magnify Yah with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. I sought the Most High. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And I pray that you have the same testimony. I pray that you're growing and you're changing and that he's moving mightily in your life. I know the Most High Yah has patterns. He convicts, he teaches, he delivers, he convicts, he teaches, he delivers, and repeat. Hallelujah. So I pray you're on that journey. I pray you're waiting on him. You're being still. I hope our show brings a smile to your heart. I know for some it does. That's definitely those that we want to stay focused on and do it for. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, please kick off your heart first, your acknowledgments.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to acknowledge the Most High for continuing to keep me, for keeping me in his secret place, hiding me under the shadow of his wing, and just really giving me a place of refuge. You know, I was talking to Elder today about how grievous it is to go out and just to witness what the heathen go through, what they do day by day. You know, the mindset, you can feel the wickedness in the air. You can feel the fear in the air. And it makes me even more grateful to the Father for the fact that he has me where I am, that I'm in a safe place, that I'm loved. I have women and men who support me, and I support them as well. I don't have to continually look over my shoulder thinking that someone is going to try to take advantage of me in any way. So I just want to acknowledge the Most High for really, really keeping me. Because when I go out there and I see what these women do not have, it really puts a grateful heart in me, even more so, and even more of a sobriety in me for what he does for us women. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for providing such a stable, sound environment where we live, you know, not just being here with the saints, but really having a head who knows and understands how to lead properly, how to make sure that the proper order is established, and who gives the right example, shows the right examples of a relationship with the Most High Yah, and who leads the people well. And to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for teaching us in everything. Even, you know, just never, ever taking a break, really considering Israel at all times. We know that our shepherd will never retire because he's a true shepherd. He's a true man of Yah. And I appreciate you, Pastor, for your love for the daughters of Zion. We never knew what it was to be loved. We never knew that we could experience love through correction. We never knew that we could experience love on this level that we have now. So blessings to you. Blessings to you for your labor and blessings to your entire family. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, Sister Nadia, come here. They always hear my acknowledgments. Why don't you give a praise? I know. From a quiet sister that wasn't quite ready. I'll keep the hat of somebody.
You know who you can say hi to? I don't even know if she's listening. Look, I'm directing you as you like get your thoughts together. Say hi to your mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. I admire the mother-daughter relationships in Israel.
I love my mom.
Yes, you love your mom? Tell them what she's been for you.
She is the best mom I could ever have. She is the best example to me on how to be a wife, how to be a sister, and a friend.
Hallelujah. Hard to speak without choking up, huh? Bless you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Tonight we're talking about motherhood. And I want you guys to hear that heartfelt acknowledgement and shout out from Nadia. Let me give my acknowledgments first and foremost to the Most High Yah. I really, really glorify him for his fear and his sovereignty. I always say that, and I really, really mean it. I'm terrified of my Creator. I'm terrified of him. I glorify him for his people, for Israel, for not forgetting us and casting us off, not abandoning and forsaking us because we're not deserving. I'm thankful for the few, hallelujah, that listen, that are able to produce the love and the fruit that he's expecting. I'm thankful for our shepherd and the body, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the protection of those of you who travel, that you're able to come back safely. It is very eerie out there. It's very eerie. It's getting very dark. I'm just waiting for Satan to pop off. Just waiting on his man to come on the scene and show us who he is. And I'm thankful to be in the land of the living, grinding every day for people who are committed to loving and transforming themselves. Hallelujah. Man, so much to say. I can't go on without glorifying my husband. I get excited every time his car pulls up, you know, every time he comes home. Gosh, been married for years and years, and it just never gets old. Like, daddy's home, you know. He provides a very safe environment for me. Lost my father early, so I always consider life without my husband. And just experienced a lot of loss in life in general, and I consider many times losing those that are very near and dear to my heart. Always trying to walk, you know, very circumspect with them and showing them my great appreciation now. You know, every day is so important. So important. I didn't really have a show. Mother Jennifer didn't either. We're not the type of women to just make things up or just talk just because we have a microphone. That's very difficult to do, actually. Very blank, you know. We didn't have anything to do. But I always look at Pastor's example, you know. He's a quiet man, but he always gets stirred up. He always primes himself, makes himself ready for the people, you know, an empty vessel in front of us, constantly, continually, never missing. And I thank him for his example. In so many ways. I'm thankful for Sakina, who's my helper behind the scenes, the Offlanders, for the growth that they're producing, the communication. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, tonight I would like to talk about motherhood, and I'm going to be honest. Let me tell everybody why I haven't, why we really don't, and I may have said this before. You know, I'm in the middle of learning myself. My children are 8, 5, and 4. And there are many things that experience has, you know, I lack experience. I don't have teenagers. I don't have children that are grown. And I don't have children that are married. So I know my place. And I typically don't speak outside of my experience. You know, it's not very wise to do that. At the same time, I can only come from the experience that I have with the children and the ages that I have. So I'll be honest, as we kick off the show, that's why I don't talk about it a lot. I believe aged women who have been through it would have more of an experience and a well-rounded view. At the same time, I can share the word, and I can come from a perspective of truth. I do, Mother Jennifer, want to encourage as we go along the way. I really, really do. And I wanted you to share a story tonight, but let's see. After all the thank yous and the I love yous, and they really are heartfelt, to the women on the land that I serve with, thank you to everyone who loves the Bell children or pours into them or helps me in any way. Thank you. And I'm thankful for the tribe that we have, the dynamics that we have, the safety. And I'm going to jump back to you now, Mother Jennifer, because you shared a story. Do we have any announcements before we kick off our communication?
I have no announcements. It's pretty quiet with the dead season, so I have nothing to announce.
Hallelujah. What's that? Sakina, you got something?
3 months.
3 months. 3 weeks.
And 6 days.
And 6 days until Passover. Hallelujah. Hey, honestly, last year there was quite a few items that we did not ever reach enough of on the Be a Blessing. And I understand, you know, you're trying to save for an offering. You're trying to save for your family financially. It's a big thing. But I did whatever you can do early to help out, whatever you can do early. I know we're not throwing the Be a Blessing list out this early, but there was quite a few trips running into town to get the things that we, once we throw something out on the Be a Blessing list, it's our expectation that it will be there. So when we kick off a feast and it's, you know, or a week or two out from the feast and it's not there, then we just do a little bit of running around, you know. So we'll try to keep you posted. It's more difficult to buy bulk foods. Y'all know that. It's more difficult to buy number 10 cans of goods. I hope you're moving and doing what you can do for your house. And for those who can't, I can't encourage you. I just can't. Many, many people will suffer. Hallelujah. Yes, go ahead. Yes, Holy Days calendar. I don't got my chat up. All right, so Holy Days calendar. I love the Holy Days calendar. How does everyone, holydayscalendar.com, the H, the D, and the C are capitalized. All right, so we'll post it in the chat. www.holydayscalendar.com. It's a 2022 calendar. Mine's already hanging up. It's beautiful. I love it. Y'all got one? Yes.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. She said, yes, we do. My audience of two has their calendar. I got two, too. One for the school, one for the house. Yes. Hallelujah. Blessings to Nadia for those who are listening. Okay, they are now available. Order now. That sounds so fancy. One for $25, two for $35 with free shipping. Order now. HolyDaysCalendar.com. And it's cool. There was no capital in the second one she posted, so you might find it either way. Oh, please check that out. And remind me, I can say that every week, Chef, if you think about it. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I don't know if you've seen it. It's previous, I know. But let me share a couple of things. So there's this man named Sarko who is a Swiss legal expert, and him and his crew and some lawyers and all these people get together and they get this organization and they create this machine. And this machine will assist you in your suicide. Time goes by. It's legal. Now, assisted suicide is on the rise. This is Switzerland. In less than 1 minute, nitrogen will fill your lungs and you'll be out. You lose consciousness. Depending on the article you read, you might see, hey, you're out in 10 minutes. But really, they stick some virtual goggles on you and just take your spirit straight out your body. Can you imagine? So you have, Mother Jennifer, this sarcopod, it's called, or the suicide pod, and this dying process that, hey, you don't have to be any older than 12 years old to even desire it. You do need some mental history, though. You know, you need to have some doctor's records that say you're suffering or that you are terminally ill. You need some sort of story. If you're under the age of 16, you just need your parents' consent, their signature. And you can lay down in this pod, close its door, and be gone in 1 minute. Assisted dying, yeah. You have deadly shootouts and crime statistics soaring. You have 48.1 million students enrolled in public schools. That is so many children, 48.1 million students enrolled in public school. So tonight I'm sitting here, maybe it was 5:15, 5:20, and within a five-minute time span, I got, like, three different texts all in the general speaking about children, questions about children, things like that. And this had already popped up multiple times throughout the day, but I didn't catch the neon signs. Like, sorry, Father, I didn't catch it. Because as I said, I'm not looking in that area a lot, knowing that I lack experience. But I know the word, and the word says that age women, that you be in great behavior, that you be holy, that you're not false accused, and that you are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and tonight's key in, to love their children. And I don't know if you've ever really considered loving your child as a command from the Most High, but it is. And so, as always, it's scary if you hear and don't do, and you hear and don't apply. So if you're going to further listen tonight, hallelujah, then I just throw that caveat out there. Mother Jennifer, it's not, we will not promote desiring a multitude of unprofitable children, because the word even says that we shall not delight in any ungodly sons. It ain't about the numbers. It's not about have children, boost the numbers, have children. It's not. The word says it's better to have no children and to have virtue. That's what wisdom says. Because virtue is known by Yah and known by men. And it even says it's better to die without children than to have them that are ungodly. Not that you can per se control that, but you can definitely feel good about pouring your life into them. It's better that your children should seek after you than you should stand to them or seek to them. So there's an authority. There's a proper authority that we have as a woman. You can say that you are the authority over children. You can say that. It's not the dad does everything. The father does everything. It's just not. So I think tonight we'll talk a little bit. I don't got much. Maybe Mother Jennifer will fire me up, but being the proper authority over our children is something that you need to learn. You have to be able to stand on your own. And let me go to you, Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I think the word authority is a really good starting point. It's a really good word to use. I have known women who are no longer in the faith, but who would, I guess you could use the word compete with their daughters. You know, they had daughters and they wanted to be friends because they thought it was cool to be friends with their daughters. And all along you could see that their daughters were really lacking and really looking for that authority in a mother. You know, they were looking for the mother to give them guidance, to give them something, but they weren't receiving that because the mother was trying to live through them, you know, trying to be their friend, trying to compete with them. Even, and I think we'll get into this a little bit later, you could even detect when women have jealousy that they have not dealt with, they haven't gotten over. Jealousy and envy toward their own daughters. I know it really sounds it sounds unbelievable, but it is true. It does exist. So I don't know if we'll get into that later or not, but I wanted to put that out there. Sister Ashley.
Bless you. Let's start there. It's fine. I really just want to highlight some key points and then go to you for your feedback anyway. That's how the flow of the show will go this whole time. I remember years ago, Pastor used to speak of it. We had a woman and a daughter that was here, and, you know, he was constantly warning them of that dynamic. And really she would, you know, dress as her daughter would dress, and no amount of warning would sway her behavior. We had an old mother here tell her about one of her daughters, if you don't get the tight clothes off of her now, she'll never take them off. And so there's many, many warnings, and now I've seen her and her daughter all on YouTube. Her daughter was licking a skull. That was the last posted picture. They were dressed in all black with three legit out-of-the-closet witches somewhere out west all over YouTube. So I don't even understand the lack of affection that a mother, like, it's just not even in me I have so much love for children. I just don't understand how you can have them and not allow y'all to really mold that relationship. You're going to have bumps. You're going to have things you fight through. But, man, because are y'all not alive in you? Are you not going to be able to say that I was better than my mother? That's the testimony we need to have. We had some very poor mothers. A lot of our mothers would give you the same story. I did the best I could. And we need to have the story that says we changed, we were better. You know, we didn't make excuses. That's the story we need to have. Because are your children looking unto you the same way you did to your mother and saying, man, I don't want to be like that? You know, Mother Jennifer, let's talk about that envy for a moment or any which way you want to go.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, when women have not dealt with their own rejection and their own immaturity, I have seen where women would get envious of their daughters because of affection they received from the husband, you know, from the child's father. And the women, because they have not dealt with their rejection, they're processing it in such a wrong way. Instead of wanting a proper, healthy relationship between the father and daughter, they're perceiving it and they're processing it, and it's becoming jealousy. So remember, our daughters should be able to look to us for an example. You know, we should be able to guide them. We should be able to show them a healthy relationship between a father and a daughter. And just because you didn't have that and you haven't dealt with it, you could scar your child. You really could, if you're going to be immature in those areas. So this is why it's very important to deal with yourself and to make sure that you are breaking those generational curses, you know, instead of walking around in denial and thinking that you're okay, but you're really not. You're damaging your child as they grow. And this could be for daughters and sons. I know we're highlighting daughters right now, but we're just talking about the basic nature of a mother, a woman. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I admire the women who have questions about children. It's not many of you, honestly. I don't think we really face ourselves in the mirror and say that we are or are not good at something. I don't think we really admit how poor we are at it. You obviously don't have a teacher in front of you showing you, so the admittance and the humility is lacking. Having children and not loving them is a shame. It's a sin to just bear them and have more and more and more and bring them about without any care. The word says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love him with all your heart, with all your soul, all your might." And Moshe said, "I'm going to command you this day, and this shall be in your heart, that you will teach your children diligently. And you will talk of them when you sit in your house. You will talk to them. You will talk to them when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." And so there's a very selfless mannerism that we should have as mothers, and I'm not so sure that you're aware of it. That's why we're just bringing this out. Your selflessness is, when they rise up, I'm teaching. When they lay down, I'm teaching. It's not all outwardly. It's not a big open show. I don't have to pour a lot of teaching into my children in the open. I spent countless hours behind the scene, my husband as well, pouring in the law. Now, another reason why, you know, our children are defenseless to the attitudes and the natures of adults. They're completely defenseless. And another reason that I usually, Mother Jennifer, don't talk about children is because the moment you throw your children out there and talk about them, you're now in the limelight and the microscope, and then your children are being watched like hawks and being torn apart by the vultures and the nature that's inside a woman's heart, ready to devour someone's child with her jealousy, with her envy. And it's by protection that I don't speak of it, because you're going to look at any family and be able to say, that's not right, and that's not right, that's not right. So don't peer into anyone else's life tonight and be judgmental in any way, my own or anyone else's. I go to Goshen, I say, wow, man, the moment Elijah woke up, his dad came and greeted him. His dad greets him, picks him up, hugs him, talks to him. It's first thing in the morning, just got out of bed, man, still rubbing his eyes. Look at dad. After Sabbath, Brother Samuel talking to all the young men for a whole hour. Could be fellowshipping, could be drinking, could be doing his own, you know, self thing, but yet he's motivated. And I commend people like that that are pouring into the next generation. Sister Chris, I heard you singing and waking your sons up. Literally singing, you know? Yes. What are we doing? When we sit in the house, we're talking about Yah. When we walk in the way, when we lie down, when we rise up, you know, it's not about, how would you say it, when you raise your children, it's not about you. You're simply just a steward. They are simply just passing through your life. That's it. You're just a steward. It's not a possession. It's not a god. And you don't even control them like they should never mess up. They should never make a noise. You shouldn't discipline them with anger. You shouldn't provoke them to anger. Are you doing any form of communicating to them? Are you saying, this is why we do this? This is why we don't do that? This is where we're going today? This is why we're getting in the car? Get up and get dressed and put them here. Put this here. Are we talking to them at all? And then it shows in their lack of communication and their lack of speech. A sister called me up and said, hey, this is what happened. This is what my child did. What do I do? You make your child apologize. You make your child speak up. Because you don't make him speak up, then he'll never live up to a, okay, how old is he? He's like 2.5, 3, whatever. And you would excuse that child. You would. And you would say, oh, he did this because, right? We as moms, we know why our children does shit. I know exactly why they're doing what they're doing and when they're doing it. You either choose to excuse them or not. You either choose to explain it away or not. And for this mom, I'm saying, you make this child speak up and say, I apologize. But he's just 2. He's just 3. No, he's old enough to do it. I remember Mama Zsa Zsa walked in the dining hall one day and said, Shalom, Zephin. Zephin was like 4. Oh, you didn't speak back, Zephin? Let's go outside. I'm going to use a lot of little terms to skirt around, you know, discipline for privacy. We come back inside, I take him straight to her. Say Shalom to Mama Zsa Zsa. Oh, he didn't say it again. Really? Let's go back outside. I dealt with that self-willed child for year after year. You would have thought, this woman ain't doing nothing with this child. Maybe you would have thought that. I don't know. You plow in hope, and you don't give up, and you do right, you're going to see fruit. He challenged my authority all the way around. But why did he do that, Mother Jennifer? Because of my emotions and my inconsistencies. See, it was one thing. I'm a brand new mom, Mother Jennifer. This is how it went. Don't do this. Discipline, blah, 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 blah. And then turn around a little bit later and go, oh, he did it because so-and-so. Well, where's the consistency, right? Where's the balance? One minute, you're giving him a hug for it. One minute, you're beating him for it. And then they bear the scars of that. Then you got to retrain them out of it. How many can raise their hand and say, man, I screwed up with my first one? You know? But you should be catching on. You should be catching on. It should be quick. You should be learning lessons quick and loving them and moving on. Let the Ruach really, really tune you in to how you should be teaching your children. They pay attention to your phone calls. They pay attention to your face and your countenance. They pay attention to how late you get up out of bed and how lazy you are, how unclean your house is. They're looking at all of it, every aspect of you. And somehow we convince ourselves in our minds that we're amazing mothers just because we're Israel. And I don't believe that, not even on my own self, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think you brought up something very important about the consistency. And it's very important to not take it personally if you have to discipline your child, if you have put a mandate out, if you've put something out, if, you know, your master has put something out and it has not been followed. Don't take it personally. If you take it personally, you're going to discipline with anger in your heart. You know, you have to really get a hold of yourself and understand that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's a spirit that you have to get a hold of. It has nothing to do with you personally. So don't take it personally. And I think when we get over personal, when we get rid of all the emotions, then you're able to properly correct. You're able to properly parent the way that you need to. You won't make excuses for poor behavior. I've witnessed, you know, a lot of times where children will do something, and instead of a behavior being corrected, I hear, oh, they're just tired. Oh, they're hungry. Oh, this happened. And because this happened, so, you know, now they're doing this. And there's a lot of excuse making because of the emotion that's involved that has not been dealt with, the ungodly soul tie that you have between you and your child that has not been dealt with. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I got a question from the chat that says, I'm struggling with loving another person's child or children that are lacking in discipline and respect. Let's pause for a second. Hey, Israel and all sisters, maybe you're right there. I remember struggling to love another person's child. I do. Not because of their lack of discipline or respect. It was something different. It was just me literally going, wow, I don't love anybody else's child like my own. This is not right. I think my firstborn was maybe 2 or 3 years old when I was really facing the mirror. And then she says, how do I deal with myself? I'm so glad that you even see this. Because seeing yourself is 50% of victory. She says, how do I change this image of myself, yet not condoning these actions in the children? Do I just ignore their behavior when in our home, what if it does not change? What if it doesn't change? What if they never change? What if they grow up? What if all they remember is you stared at them and you never hugged them and you never held their hand? See, we wait until a child does something wrong to all of a sudden want to parent them. When we never have any conversation or communication with them when they are just fine. We've never read a book to them when they are in a great mood. You know? We never walked by them and smiled or high-fived or fist-bumped. So you get that kind of camaraderie with a child's heart, you would be amazed. I have children that obey me better than their own mothers. Only because of my relationship with them when they're not giving an ass attitude. If you really want to make an impact in a child's life, you do it when they're not being willful. Yeah. And then somehow, you know, Pastor said it before, how can we forget we were children? How can you do that? How could you look into these children's, I can't help it, mom's not doing a dang thing about it. Maybe she's struggling with 1,000 other things. Honestly, the weight and the battle gets a lot sometimes. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying maybe there's money issue. Maybe there's marital issues. Maybe there's, abuse issues and a horrible circumstance that she came from and a journey ahead of her that she has to fight and so much repentance that she needs. But she belongs to Yah, right? And if she's his, he's the keeper of souls, he's going to work it out. What you can't do is scar that child. You don't do that. Please don't do that. And I think that was my thing too. I was able to separate children from their families. I remember walking by a child who was in the back row. Y'all heard me say this story before. He was in the back row of the assembly, and he'd only come 2 or 3 times. And he was straight out of public school. He was fresh off the block. You could tell his attitude, his nature, his will, it was ugly. Because things like that really stand out here. If a child comes and they're not like our so-called children, they really stand out. And I hope that I hope that we don't put off a spirit onto these mothers who are bringing their children. Isolating our children is one thing, right? But teaching our children how to communicate with that type of child is another, right? And so I walked by this child who was totally goofing and not listening to his mother, and if y'all know me at all, I don't run around like doing things to other people's children or saying things. You know, I do believe they're the possessions of their husband, which is back to your question, right? Do I just ignore the behavior when they're in our home? If the dad ain't saying something or your husband ain't, absolutely. Not in a sense that, you know, I can't teach you a black or white because if you're taking a blue crayon and coloring on my white wall, I don't got to have anybody around me to say stop, you know? But some things we just blow up and we make a lot bigger. And so this child is not listening to mom and disrespecting her, and I just walk by to hear it. And I snap my fingers at him. I shake my finger in his face. And I say, we don't do that here. You obey your mom. You turn around. You listen to the man of Yah. And so I'm really big about teaching that. Listen to the man of Yah when he speaks. Listen to the man of Yah when he speaks. If you don't do that, you're going to see that disrespectful nature carried over into other men. And so I really just try to focus on he's talking. That's his video. Listen to his video. He sit down. He's speaking. Listen to, you know. And so anyway, man, after the two corrections to that child, he was literally every Sabbath writing me a letter. I love you. What he did that week. He was older. He was like 12. And a really stern correction balanced with friendliness after the meal, you know, passing him a letter back, writing him a note. Always, my sisters, always staying within the bounds of the family. If Nadia comes to me for help, for example, I'll never speak past her mother and father. Tammy, you come to me about anything, I'll never speak past Jordan. Right? I'll never teach a child. The Baja's children come to my house, it's going to be their way. Right? And she'll say, obey Ashley. But you always honor another man's rules. You do that. And I, like I said, the show can't be black or white, and a lot of this will be brand new to your hearing, but it takes a great effort to really, really produce change when you're training up your children in this new faith. Mother Jennifer?
And I think the fact that this sister realizes that she needs to learn how to love someone else's children as her own is a really, really good start. And it may take something different for you than what it took for myself or what it took for Sister Ashley. So you have to figure out what it is, you know, what is hindering you, what is holding you back. But once you start to really love your sister or even love their children, then it's like you start really flourishing in love in ways that you never have before. When you start to really love a sister's child, you'll start to love her even more because there's a bond that's created there that you wouldn't have otherwise. You know, you both will have the interest of that child and really wanting to see that child raised right. You're going to want to help her in any way you can instead of being condescending or looking down at her or pointing out her flaws. You know, you're really genuinely going to want to help her. You'll be mentioning her name in your prayers. She's going to be in your heart. You'll have more to talk about with her. You'll have more in common with her. So it does truly increase your love. Once you love the children, it just increases your love for their mothers and for other women. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. It's beautiful. You know, it's sickening and selfish to see how we've limited our hearts. You know, how independent and individual we can get and just go, oh, I'm going to teach mine, train mine, love mine, and then everybody else's is theirs or whatever. Even coming from the other perspective, my sister, that says, I'm a mom with children, and it hurts when you don't love mine, right? It hurts me when you express that you don't. I'm going to say it like that. But I don't limit my love because of it. I don't stop loving yours or you because of it. Right? I just know what it was like. I remember what it was like. The word talks about the fatherless, right? And what about the children who are with fathers, but they're not believers, or they're just men in vessel, but not by nature? You know, what can you do? What can you be for them? What can you? We are so selfish, we don't even think about a child. Who thinks about the children in your assembly? Right? Just stay over there, be quiet. Sit down, be quiet. Right? What about the orphan? You know, when the orphan that we have became an orphan, that's when I really started meditating about my lack of love. That's when we really had an opportunity as a tribe to raise someone without a father or a mother, a child who didn't ask to be born, and a child who did not expect to lose mother and father. You know? And I really would observe the lack of love right here at the hub, for a young boy who had no mother and father. I wept. I can't tell you how many countless hours. I still weep at our lack of love. I will die weeping for love because it endures, it prevails, it heals, it's everything. It's everything. And when you don't have it, you don't see it. When you don't have it, you don't receive it. When you don't have it, you don't give it. So you don't know what anybody else has got. You're not paying attention to anyone else's manifestation of love. You're in yourself. Hearken, Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments Yahweh said, that I teach you, that you will cleave unto the Most High. And he says, I taught you, Deuteronomy 4, statutes and judgments. Moshe said, as the Most High commanded me, I taught you these statutes and these judgments. And we've heard this before. It says, keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all other nations, all other nations, all other nations. We must be different. How are we going to be different? For the love, right? It says, you shall hear these statutes and say, they shall say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding. What nation is there so great that has their Yah so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Which one is so great that would deliver us? Which one is so great that would be the God he is to us? There's no other nation. There's not. It says, what nation is there so great? But it says, take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget these things, lest they depart from your heart. You will teach them, teach them, teach them to your sons. Teach them, teach them, teach them. Right? That's like, that takes a lot of action. Not like, I'm so busy, watch this movie. I'm so busy, go in your room. I'm so busy. Right? Do you have your daughter by your side cooking? All right? Are you teaching your son? Man, I remember when Zephyr was little, we got the knife, the bow, the BB gun, and I poured into him National Geographic videos of how to catch every daggone. I don't want to see a snake. You catch them. You touch them. Right? I saw Gabriel's talent that we had. I said, Gabriel, you mind teaching him? Gabriel, you mind teaching him? Gabriel, you mind teaching him? Bugged the snot out of Gabriel. Gabriel took him everywhere. How to catch a snake, how to find a snake. How to find a lizard, what lizard is that? Which ones are in this area? Which ones, right? You're teaching him something. Not, oh, don't touch it. Don't get on that. Oh, God, you're going to fall. Come on, right? A woman can really, really tear down the foundation of a young son and make him so weak. It says here, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said, gather me all this people together, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live, that they may teach their children, that they may teach their children, that they may teach their children. We have to. We have to. We have to. It is a calling. It's a calling that they would have knowledge and understanding, that they would be skilled, that they would have wisdom. And y'all know like I do, we can't do it alone. I can't. I'm just one person. And I always said to myself, wow, I can only teach you what's inside me. And as a mother, you really go, I see what I wasted. I see what I didn't learn. I can't teach you any musical instrument. I wasted my childhood, right? Now I got to drive you and pay every week to the piano lady. Hallelujah for that. But I'm just saying, when you're a mother, you're going to see what you lack. Because you can only give them what you got. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, the realization of, you know, I can't do it alone is very, very big. And I think that some women haven't even gotten to that realization yet. And they think that they can do everything alone, everything by themselves. But, you know, you want your child to be well-rounded. So if there are certain characters and qualities that you have that your child definitely needs, absolutely. But there's also qualities that your sisters have that the child is going to need as well. And so there's a trust factor that has to come into play. The walls have to be torn down so that you can trust another sister to love your child. If you're not going to trust another sister to love you, then how are you going to trust another sister to love your child? So you don't want to teach them to reject love. You don't want them to grow up that way. You want them to understand that they need more than just mom. You know, they need more than just mom. There's, especially if you live communally, you know, you really have to be mature yourself, tear down the walls and that you've put up, you know, against other sisters, and help your child to learn how to receive love. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Let's hear a song. Bless y'all. I hope y'all are meditating on how to be better. It's definitely not looking down. We're all in this together. If I tell you I got an 8 and a 5 and a 4, we're in it together. You know, I'm willing to help you, or I'm willing to seek you out if you're my example. You know, it's not my children, Deacon Bell's possession, his children, they are just passing through my life. I don't lord over them. I can't protect them from any circumstance. All I can do is just pour my life and my all into them. You know, that's it. All right, it's our calling. Let's see. How do you help your child learn how to receive love? Don't. It says help your child learn how to receive. Oh, absolutely. How do you teach your child how to learn how to receive love? Bend over and receive this. Don't you wail around and flop around and scream and do all them shenanigans and all them emotions and control me. I'm the authority right now. Bend over. Take this and receive this. You get this because of what you have done. Right? You teach them how to receive that. And they'll have no problem receiving the balance of discipline and love. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. Be right back. We need him. You know, if you think about the mother, Mother Jennifer, if you think about a mother of a family, she's actually the bond of that home. You know, that's the calling. She's the bond of that home, the one who really glues everything together. And Sirach 7:27, I've never forgot this verse. It says, forget not the sorrows of your mother. You know, speaking to a son, it says, forget not the sorrows of your mother. I know there's a lot of sorrows. There's no sorrow like it. the selfish independence of being a woman married without any children is nothing like the sorrow that you experience. And I'm not talking about emotions of being a mother. I'm meaning the true sorrow. When you once understand the depths and the gravity of birthing a living soul and not knowing their fate, not knowing where their soul will end up, not knowing what circumstance will come upon them, hurt them, harm them, kill them, not knowing who will do them wrong, you know, just the sorrows of the mother. But it's still yet no excuse to be in our emotions and to shield them from receiving love. If you are poor at receiving love, you're going to be poor at teaching them how. If you are poor at receiving the correction of the Almighty or your own husband, then you're going to be poor at pouring into them how to receive, you know. The blessings of the Father, Sirach 3:9, says, the blessings of the Father establishes the house of children, but the curse of the mother roots out foundations. So the blessing of the Father establishes the house of children like a foundation. And then the mother and the curse of that mother can actually root out the foundation. I'm telling you, she's the bond of the family, or she can destroy it all, teaching the children her same emotionalism and not learning how, right, Sister Tiffany, we talked about this just weeks ago. We talk about it a lot, honestly, learning how to be an authority also puts you in direct relation to understanding your husband's authority over you. If you understand your authority over your children, then you understand his over you. You understand how he has to correct. You understand his intention. You understand how you receive is how you teach them to receive. You know, the whole, it's a family unit. It's really beautiful. There's a lot of meditation that should happen in how you, you know, deal with your husband and your children to really show you the mirror of who you are. It says that the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, right? So a man can be, gosh, I mean, look at his Kaya. He's barely even lived. Look at all his glory just because of his father, right? But it also says that a mother in her dishonor is a reproach to that child. So what good would it profit a child to have a wonderful father and not have an amazing mother? And in that sense, I don't speak of Hezekiah. But you want to be a mother that has that same honor and foundation as the father does. And then if you find yourself not having a father for your child or a father that's a believer, then you get that honor of your Abba Father, and you pour that into them. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I think the best place a woman can be is in such a state of humility where she understands that she does not have all the answers. You know, you're not required to have all the answers. And when you find yourself in a position where your child may be lacking in an area, you know, there's something that you just can't figure out. There's something that this child, a behavior that the child is repeating and you don't understand why. How often do you really get on your knees and seek the Father? You know, the Father is the one that created them. The Father knows, he knows them, you know, he made them. But how often do we really seek the Father for those things that that are lacking, those things that need to be corrected, those things that we need more wisdom on, but we just don't have it? So it's always best to really seek Yah on their behalf so that you can do what needs to be done so that they can be whole, they can be made whole in areas. You know, it might be an area where you need to be set free from, you might need deliverance from, so that they can advance and they can move forward. You know, always look at you, always look at yourself, and always seek the Father first before you go outside. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. You know, I was not an affectionate person in my life because I, like many, many of you who have your stories, I was never held. I was never, my mother never combed my hair. She cut it off. She hated hair. She mocked it. She cut it like a boy's all my life. Never nurtured me. Never, ever picked me up when I was crying or held me. Literally pushing me to the manliness that I had to fight and resist to become who I am now. And if you think about your relationship with your children, it's a good reflection to see how the stains of your childhood are being mirrored in your motherhood, you know? And you will be shockingly surprised at how quick you can apply the father statutes and commandments and turn things around. With you, you could do nothing. With him, you can do it all. Really, it's amazing how he can get in your consciousness. The word doesn't say reprimand with a bunch of verbiage and a bunch of voice and a bunch of, you know, verbal abuse. It says rod. You know, is the word is really, really clear with what we should do. And so once you've corrected, once you've disciplined, do you go back and you talk to them later and say, what would you do different? What did you learn? Did you understand this? You know, talk before and after. You know, I let my children talk to me about stuff that I don't care about at all, but you'll never know in my face, right? I don't shut them up, turn them away. I don't want to hear it. I'm on the phone. I got this going on, you know. And as I said, please don't mirror things after me. You're going to look into our house and you're going to find issues. So this is not a puff me up, but the issues are definitely not going to be love issues, right? And so let's hear something from a Sabbath service. It's a real quick, gosh, just a reminder, my sisters. Let me turn this volume up. This is 11-7-2020.
For a fact that, man, I tell you, I don't even know why people are not going to listen with an attentive ear to be converted or changed. Does that make any sense? Why even listen? Why would you even listen if you don't have any intention of being changed, being converted? What good does it do for you to see people be transformed and go from glory to glory and you still remain the same? What good is it? How many years some of y'all done wasted? Literally. Days, weeks, months, years quickly turns into decades. Every day is a blessing and an opportunity. And he should actually be at the forefront of your mind at all times. I understand we have things we have to do, but the idea, and I'm going to quote it, makes no difference where it's at because it's in there. The principal thing is seek ye first. Now let's stop because we think we have understanding, but we don't. The reason why you have so much conflict in life is because you seek you first. How much trouble could you have if you're seeking the kingdom first? When you start thinking on you, that's where things start messing up at it. Instead of seeking him first, it's like seek me first. But you're supposed to be seeking what first? The what? All right. Do we think that there's some way off in the wild blue yonder place? Where is the kingdom? The ideal is to bring the kingdom that is already in you out. What suppresses him is the flesh, the works of the flesh. Let me see. What's the other thing? He has hidden treasures in these what? Earthen vessels. See, everything points towards inside.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, how does that tie in?
Sister Ashley, it's, you know, exactly what we were just talking about, really seeking the Father on behalf of, you know, if you lack in an area of your parenting, you could be so focused on yourself. You could be so focused on the areas of lack. You could be so focused on your insecurities where you're not even thinking about Yah at all. You're just so self-absorbed. And you might think that it's a righteous thing, you know, where you're so focused on yourself. You're so focused on the fact that you just want to get it right. But it's really not a righteous way to go about it. It's about seeking Yah first, you know, seeking Him first and really thinking about putting Yah into the equation first and taking you out of it, because you can't do any of this in your own strength and your own power and your own might. It's by the Spirit of Yah only. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. It makes perfect sense, you know. You're not going to please everybody with your motherhood. You're not, you know. And if you know someone has genuine love for you or your child, that's who you would seek out. That's who you would talk to. That's who you would ask questions if you even need help. You know, you're just not going to be able to protect them from this icy cold world. Or the icy cold saints. You're just not, you know. And as soon as you yield them over to the Most High Yah and you say, you're the keeper of souls. If they're yours, keep them, you know. You have to protect them and keep them, because you bind yourself to your own law, you know. But make no excuses for yourself and for your motherhood. Make no excuses, you know. Pregnant, headache, nausea, you know. Got to rest. We're moving. We're this. We're that. Okay. Take your pause. Do what you need to do and get right back to the grind. You know, right back to the grind. Never allowing flesh to drag you down and make you forget Yah's law. I remember when Pastor said, every one of you are going to regret every time that you spare the rod, because your child ain't little forever. And I tell myself that weekly. Since my son was three, my first son was three. I tell myself that weekly. I say to myself, if I don't love them, I spare them. You got to let that word sink down in you and get the mind of Yah about it. There's a, let's go to Sirach 30. We've read this before, and I hope this doesn't bore anyone who isn't a mother, because I remember... You know, I remember not being a mother and listening to Pastor talk about motherhood, and I really would take mental notes that are very, very helpful to me, you know, when I was early mom. Sirach 30 says, a horse not broken becomes headstrong, and a child left to himself will be willful, and that really is a problem. I don't say that with an evil eye. I really don't. I'm not running around looking for people's children, who's not doing right, what somebody said, what somebody did. You guys, it's laughable when you come up with you and your children's issues to what I got going on. I done been there, done that, tried it, lied, you know. I mean, you've been through everything. Everything on the community, I'm saying at the age and stage they're at. This person lied, this person accused, this person said, we got to talk to this mom got to talk to this, my son did this, yours did that. We done been through that too many times over. I'm not exalting mine and putting mine up to the front. I'm just not. I know the depths of my own heart, you know. Who can know the depths? I don't mean it like that. It just, I ain't putting it past them. So a child left to himself will be willful. If you're paying him no attention, I don't care what his ADHD says. I don't care what the hospital or the doctor said. I saw a woman with an ADHD child who was going on the age of 16 who was just as well-behaved as any disciplined child with their full mind. I was stunned. I was stunned. You guys should sit down and ask Johanna, Nicole Moore. You should ask her what her experience was like with Legend, when you had to tie him to a leash and feed him certain things, with all the tantrums that the world allows, the behavior that they say is okay, you know? Oh, it's saddening. And this young man, I put him out there as an example, and I spoke to a mother who was in great need, who had multiple ADHD children, you know, mentally diagnosed with conditions and needed love and needed help. And, I mean, she would just yank them, pull them, snatch them, hit them, smack them, talk to them any old kind of way. Oh, it was so saddening. And you're at a place, all of you, you're at a place for great help. It says here, a child left to himself will be willful. You let him run away. You say, come back. It's okay. There's no repercussions. I'll just chase you. I'll chase you when you're two, I'll chase you when you're three, and then when you're four, I'll chase you again. You never, you know. Oh, he's just, I remember making excuses, man. Mother used to tell me that. Mother Carol say it. Ashley, stop making excuses. My child was three. I'd be like, okay, he's hungry. He's got this. He's this. I did it too. I played the game. I'm not being without mercy. When she snapped my conscience and told me I was saying that and doing that, then I'm like, oh, so now every urge that I get to try to defend him, I won't speak. Because most of the time the people listening don't care anyway. That's just how cold we are. I pray it changes. It says, cocker thy child and he shall make you afraid. That means, you know, pamper him. Give him all that he wants and he's going to make you afraid. You're going to be afraid he falls, afraid he gets hurt, afraid he gets kidnapped, afraid he's going to, right? The list goes on and on. Why? Because you're pampering him. You can't let him out of your sight. You don't trust Yah with him. It says, play with him, and he will bring you heaviness, because it's out of order. It says, laugh not with him, lest you have sorrow with him, and lest you gnash thy teeth in the end, that you be so sorrowful that you made such a regretful mistake, that you thought it was all funny, that it was okay, and you made a bunch of excuses, and then in the end, you lose them. I really enjoyed Isaiah 54 from Brother Daniel, by the way. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Sing, O Barren. Man, I enjoyed that. I'm telling you, there's no kind of feeling like the reproach of being barren. I lived it. All right, then it says, give him no liberty in his youth and wink not at his follies. Things just aren't funny, you know? They just aren't. It says, bow down his neck while he's young. Beat him on his sides while he is a child. Rinse the rock 30, lest he wax stubborn, be disobedient unto you, and bring sorrow to your heart. Chastise your son, hold him to his labor, unless his lewd behavior be an offense unto you. So stop making excuses for them, right? And just look in the mirror and really evaluate yourself as a mother. Stop just, like, skirting through motherhood, waiting on them to just be whoever they're going to be, and not doing anything for them. Deuteronomy 11 says, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. That just means, just put them everywhere. Put them at the frontlets of your eyes. Let the word be everywhere. That you will teach them to your children. Deuteronomy 11:19. Teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Sounds a lot like what we already read. This is a different verse. Write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. Hallelujah. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Most High Yah, your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. And don't allow your children to divide your relationships, you know. My children might have any complaint at any random time about anybody. I'm not going to side with that. Even if something they say happened, I'm not going to just side with a child and just stop loving and fall out of love with somebody. You know, don't let your child divide your house, divide you and your husband. It's scary to listen to a message like this tonight, a conversation like this. It really is, because you apply it or not. You know, you eat the good fruit of the benefit of listening or not, or you pay the price of sorrow later. It is so fearful to hear the word, the rich word that we hear from all different angles. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
And if your child has a conflict, your child is coming to you to get a mature way to handle that conflict. So if you're continually allowing relationships to be divided because of your emotions, then that's something that your child is going to learn. And they'll never grow up to have solid, consistent, healthy relationships because you've taught to be immature when it comes to relationships based on your emotions. And I also wanted to say that, you know, we need to teach our children deliverance. You know, when you are disciplining them, you really need to teach them how to cast down these thoughts, these negative thoughts that they hear. You need to teach them how to bind, how to loose. You know, they're not too young to start explaining these things. And then as they get older and older and older, they'll be able to follow your example a little bit more. I had one more point, but it escaped my mind. Sister Ashley, I'll turn it back over to you, and it may come back to me.
Hallelujah. I mean, if I was a little more like, you know, maybe if it was more well thought on my end too, all week long, to think of some really good different examples of things that occur, I could have produced them for you. But I hope this is just enough to even initiate. You know, you're not going to stop Satan's accusations in your mind against what you've done and haven't done. You're not going to, I don't mean stop it. I'm meaning he is going to come relentlessly to you in your weak area about you always. That's his job. But you can turn things around. You know, I know we have mothers who have children who they, you know, they were in public school all their life and now they feel like it's too late, and maybe it is. But he can heal you, you know. Or we have children who are fatherless and you feel like it's like no one understands. You know, you have nobody. It's sad. I think we should have such a welcoming and such a love about us that we allow any child into our heart. And then also, you know, the limitations and the boundaries based on the relationship of the mother and you, based on the relationship of the father and, you know, meaning you don't go past someone else's house. If you recognize the sister is not fond of you, don't put a stumbling block, you know. Be kind to her child. Do not create more fuel, throwing more fire. I don't know. First, I think the first and most important thing is to just say, yeah, I don't love children. I don't care how many you have. If you haven't said that or faced that, then, and if you need to, of course, then that's just where you need to start. Like, I don't love them. I said I didn't want them all my life, and then when I had them, I just have them. You know? Like, be really honest with yourself. It requires a lot of change. A lot of change. You know, my husband the other day, and Tammy's right behind me, it's like, oh, you did that to Tammy? You said that to Tammy? Okay, Tammy, take this and do that to them. And I'm not going to share details. Why? Because I can correct you and discipline you, my husband's thinking. I can correct you and discipline you all day long. But if I let her do it, then you're going to take her serious when I'm not around. And that's what I need you to do. I need you to honor all men when I'm not around. Mother Jennifer.
Another point I wanted to make was, you know, I remember Mama Nellie bringing this up about discipline starting at home. Don't let the discipline start when you go out and your child is embarrassing you because there's behavior that you've never corrected. And so you want to correct them harshly because you're embarrassed, because you never addressed their lack of discipline. Make sure that you start the discipline at home, even to the point of listening. You know, when listening to the messages, when listening to the teachings, that you're training them from a very young age to sit still and to be able to listen. It really blessed my heart one day this week, or I'm sorry, last week, Pastor was on live, and I was watching as the young children here, they were being taught for school, ages 2 and 3 and 4. And when Pastor came on live, the children were instructed to sit down and listen, and they did such a wonderful job. They sat there the whole time. You know, they didn't get up and, you know, try to get up and start running and talking. They actually were listening. So you can tell that these children have been trained very well. So make sure you start those things very early so that when you get to a public place, you're not embarrassed because of your lack of teaching that child how to be disciplined. Sister Ashley.
Very good. I mean, the word is train up your child in the way it should go. Train, 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 train. That means repeat, 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 repeat. You know, I'm not influenced or affected at all by anyone's looks, stares, glares, or anything that may occur around me. You have to get that strong in your mind as a mother. because you'll drive yourself crazy. You'll end up correcting your child because everyone's looking, and you'll end up doing a disservice to them. You're not being fair to them. You're shouting at them or handling them in the open, not without the same balance that you would have in your own house. I remember calling Mother Jennifer when I had a newborn and saying, Mother Jennifer, I'm a different mom in the open than I am behind the scenes, and I don't know what the problem is. I literally just had a newborn. I said, I'm behind the house. I can hug, nurture. I can do all these things. In the open, I freeze. I nurse, I freeze, that's it. I hold you, that's it. And I couldn't explain, what's this dynamic, right? Never been a mother before. But I knew the humility of just talking to her and saying this out loud was going to get results for me anyway. Because this child is not deserving. I have to raise my child in front of 30 people. I say mine, but you know it's deacons. I have to raise this child in front of 30, 35 people. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Okay, so correct your child in the open and not just at home, yes, and then get a balance of your home lessons so that there's a good fruit in the open. It's not a perfect manual, you know. You'll think things are getting by even in our own house because all that deacon says to him, you're filling your cup. You're filling your cup, right? You fill your cup. I dump it out, he says, right? So you fill your cup up. You go behind the scenes, we handle it. You think, you know, so don't, you know, if you're somebody without a child or you have evil eyes towards someone else's child, don't be so quick to be judgmental and critical because you don't know behind the scenes what's going on. You know, you really don't. We can all peg different children and their behaviors and this, that, and the other, right? But we should never have one we don't love. Never, never, never. Please go to 2 Esdras. I'm wrapping it up. This is it, Mother Jennifer, 2 Esdras 2. Read verse 15, 17, and 30. 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha, verse 15, 17, and 30.
Verse 15. Mother, embrace thy children and bring them up with gladness. Make their feet as fast as a pillar. For I have chosen thee, saith Yahweh. Verse 17, fear not, thou mother of the children, for I have chosen thee, saith Yahweh. Verse 30, be joyful, O thou mother, with thy children, for I will deliver thee, saith Yahweh. Sister
Hallelujah.
Ashley?
Verse 15, I like the word embrace. You should be embracing your child, and not in the most inopportune moments when you do something wrong only, you know. Like, no, I am the authority over you, right? This is what we're doing at this moment. This is what we're doing in that moment. It's tough for a woman because we're a weaker vessel. So you have to stick to the decision that you made and roll with it and not be, you know, to the left and to the right, back and forth, switching. You know, I said this, but okay, this is, you know, I said no, but all right, I changed my mind. You know, we have to strive really hard, myself too. I have to strive really hard to keep my commitments because we are emotional. But please embrace your child. Please don't just shout and yell and beat them and don't have any nurture and love and hugs. Please. And then verse 17 says, fear not. And I remind the father of that when I'm faced with fears. I fear how my children will be treated by some of you. You know, being out front behind the microphone is literally in the lion's den. Sorry, not lion's den. I should say something else. I should say, you know, in the fire. Because we already got a lion's den. But you're in the fire. Your children become prey for the enemy. And women are vile. We are so wicked. We are so revengeful, you know. And so I try. I pray and I cover my children. I do. But I can't stop. Well, the word says fear not. So I won't fear. Let them grow up. Do what I'm supposed to do. Stay in my lane. Let them experience life. Let them experience saints, the coldness of some, the love of others. Let them grow. Let them go, you know. Don't hold on to them past the age that you should. And then verse 30 said, raise them with a joyful, my own words, raise them with a joyful smile, you know. Hopefully they see your smile and not just your downcast, you know. My children hear me pray and cry out. My children see my sternness. My children see my smiles, you know, my dance, my mom, you know, the music, everything. Let them know you. Let them see you, right? Not just one robotic mom, I got to get this done today, times all 7 days of the week. Mother Jennifer?
And I think, Sister Ashley, like you said, allowing them to learn and experience for themselves can be one of the toughest things. But it is one of the best things that you can do for them. You can steer them through it. You can coach them through it. You can guide them through it. You can help them process their emotions. But you can't for them. You can walk through it with them and let them go. Let them experience it, because it's really going to mature them. And you'll be grateful for the level of maturity that they'll be able to reach one day, because you've done that. You've let them experience things without you continually stepping in. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Come on up, Sister Kina. I really admire a lot of the relationships that the mother and daughters have. I've said that so many times. We have a great thing going on. It's just there's always room for change, you know. Let our light shine. Sakina says she wanted to share a testimony. So, hey, when my son, my older one especially, dad's at work, not around, and I know it's different because I'm communal. I'll ask, if he asks me a question that I know a man should teach him and his father isn't around, I know his dad will support my decision that, hey, go ask brother so-and-so. I'm only going to send him to the brothers that I know is going to speak like his father. You know, go ask brother so-and-so. Something happened even at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, it would mirror something that would happen at a public school between bullying and all these things that happen. I said, hey, you see Carlisle, how old are you? You're not listening to the show. I ask Carlisle every time he's here, how old are you? And you know I don't retain it. Let's say he's 15. Go ask Carlisle. Mom, go ask Carlisle. Why? Because I know Carlisle's been with us enough. He knows. I know his spirit. Right? And you know that he's been in public school and still made it out, and the father kept him. So go ask that young man. I know he's going to tell you right. And I didn't even have to say, what'd he tell you? I don't even got to know. You just, as a young boy, you're going to have other teachers. I'm just trying to put you in the path of the right ones. Right? And come on up. You got a children's story?
Oh, yeah.
Sister Sakina.
Go ahead. It's just about, like, everything y'all saying, it kind of encompasses the love that you should have or you should develop with your sisters who have children. Also, not going past their household and things like that. So everybody knows I terrorize the children as much as I can on Shabbat. I mess with them, you know, not in a bad way to those
Auntie.
Who are spying on our liberty. I don't mean it that way. And I always play with them, and there's this particular sister who I loved, but I didn't really, like, just pour out a lot of love. And, you know, with children, you have to allow them to, come to you, Like, children have to get to know you.
Yes.
For who you are and things like that. And they only learn that by you and their parents. So this one particular Shabbat, I know I had been striving to really just pour out more love on the sister. And I was terrorizing some children, and one of her children came up to me and was like, can you terrorize me too? And I just looked and I was like, oh, like, because it's a testimony just because the love with the parent wasn't there all the way. And now that it's becoming there, the children want to be around, or they want the same thing that you do for the other children. So it reminds me of what you were saying earlier about the person that asked the question, like, what are you doing to alleviate that from the parents? Can you take them for the weekend? All right, when you see them on Shabbat, do you talk to them? Do you listen?
Yes, yes.
You know, and I just, it made me smile.
You had,
like,
to learn how to become an auntie, right?
Yeah,
you didn't know
different.
This coming in. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
You didn't have you didn't have a big experience even with children growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a horrible childhood, like so many listening. So it's beautiful to watch you pour into them and do that without children of your own, you know? Hallelujah.
You have to love.
You gotta love.
You have to love them as if they're your own.
You heard her. You gotta love them as
if they're your own. Hallelujah. Family, I'm telling you. Remember, the mother is the bond of the family. Huge responsibility. Man, I feel the pressure of it. Look, I sound all nice, tough, and strong in this chair, man. I'm on my face about this kind of stuff, you know. I long for aged women and grandmas and, you know, those who could tell you what did they do, you know. But we are the... Can I say progenitors? We are the ones that are doing it first, you know. We have very few aged women in the ministry, you know, and they'll all tell you they're learning so much, you know, and praise y'all that they've even been saved. But it is a test, a true test of your growth and your hearing and your change. If you can look in the mirror and go, wow, everything that I'm hearing, everything I'm changing about myself, I'm turning around and I'm pouring it into my child, you know, and my child or children, my husband's house, is benefiting from my change. You know, that's the power that we have as a woman. Mother Jennifer, something happened to you on the streets. Can I say streets? Tell us a story. I want to hear it live.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I went grocery shopping today, and it was Sister Chandra and myself, and we were sitting at a red light. And there's an elementary school that kind of sits off the street. It's fenced in, and you could see that the children were outside for recess. And you could hear a little boy literally screaming. And we just happened to look over, and we could see four children holding this little boy down, and they're beating him, like beating him. They've ganged up on him, and they're beating him. And he's screaming and crying. Now, I'm looking at the area. I don't see adult supervision. I don't see a teacher anywhere nearby. And, you know, all this happened during the time where I'm sitting at the red light. And I pulled off, and it really bothered me so much. And when I got home, I was telling Elder about it, and he said, you know, what it should really do is make you so grateful and so thankful. We don't have children in a system that we don't have to deal with that type of system at all. Our children are safe. They'll never, ever have to experience that at all. But, you know, as I drove home, I wondered, will that little boy even have anybody to confide in, to go to? You know, what type of parents does he have? Do we have guardians or parents who actually care about what his day was like, what he went through? Does he have an advocate, somebody that's actually going to be for him? And it made me really sad because I'm like, you know, he doesn't have anybody that can pull him out of this wicked system at all. So it's very grieving to me when I'm out in the world and I see the wickedness that is still going on, and it's getting worse and worse every single week when I go out. It's worse and worse, and you can just feel it in the atmosphere. You can just tell that it's just getting worse. But for a child to have to endure that is awful. But again, it makes me extremely grateful that we are under a ministry, that we are covered, our children are covered, because the man of Yah followed the voice of Yah, and now we can dwell in safety. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Remember, 48.1 million students are enrolled in the public schools in the U.S. Just a lot of students. You know, your child just being tossed out there like a statistic. And I'm so thankful to be able to homeschool. I am, if you want to say, one of the educators here on the land, you know, the teachers, one of the moms at homeschool. And I remember when Mother came and said, have I ever told this on the show? Maybe. Y'all got to help me. Oh, we've been doing this thing almost 7 years. So you're going to hear stories over and over, okay? Get used to it, Chef. All right. So she said, I'm used to it. And so I remember Mother coming and saying, if we do this school thing, right, and for privacy, I'm not going to, you know, disclose a lot of stuff, but if we do this, are you interested? No. You know? No. Uh-uh. And, you know, everyone in my family was teacher, principal, guidance counselor, teacher, principal, repeat, guidance counselor, like every man and woman, you know. And so, no thanks. And I remember walking away going, I've never said no to anything. And came back maybe like 2 weeks later, she did, and she was like, you're going to be, this is what you're going to do. And I'm like, yes, ma'am,
because I'd already spent 2 weeks going, you know you're going to do this, right? And then when she said, you're going to do this, then I gave myself the same two-week period, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. I'm not just going to do something robotically and redundantly when children are banking on you're all in all going into it. You know, are you going to be so selfish to withdraw and hold back? Are you going to pour your all in all and be the absolute best because you love what you're doing, you know? So I gave myself 2 weeks, and I got there. I gave myself 2 weeks on my knees, being real with the father, like, I ain't never wanted to do this, you know? I also, really briefly, something that comes to my mind, it's a original and early on excuse when you begin to see your child that, look, if you're a homeschool or like a home birth mom, for example, or from the womb your child, you've been in the faith, and so you got this really close bond, and you know exactly where they pick stuff up at. Like, they do that because of her, and they do that because of dad, and they, you know, you see this pattern, and you know exactly. I mean, you are so tuned in to your child that when they start to learn outside of your comfort zone, like, oh, they're doing that because of that child, right? My children are just as subject to teachers something wrong as yours might do mine, right? And so don't let that be an excuse. When your child copies someone, and don't let it be an excuse in your mind like, oh, they're just doing it because of so-and-so, because that's true, but now you got to handle them because they did it. You know what I mean? You got to handle them for the action that they did that wasn't acceptable, no matter who's doing it, you know? So if this is not acceptable in Deacon Bell's house, it doesn't matter if you saw 100 children do it, you're getting corrected because it's not acceptable in your father's house. And we've said it before, I'll say it again. Remember to teach your children that every child must obey his father. And that's how you keep from any confusion when you can watch this, but you can't watch that. And why can they do this when they can do that, right? That child must obey his father. And it gives them a very safe, concrete answer and an understanding, you know. But hallelujah, just the more you learn of Yah, the better answers you can provide your children when you're talking to them, right? And I know you're, I say it again, you're not going to please everybody. You're just not. I don't please everybody. You know, my children don't please everybody. Somebody's going to be nothing's good enough kind of person in your life, right? But hallelujah, Jesus, we got a good thing going on. Don't remain the same. Don't waste days and months and years not changing. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, I got a song I'm going to end with that I love so, so, so much. But let me hear your ending words.
Sister Ashley, I think all the words that were spoken were, you know, would solidify everything, and I have nothing to add. Bless you, daughters of Zion. I pray that this blessed you, and I pray that you've learned a lot. Shalom.
Take me past the outer core and through.